Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back Show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we believe that intimately connecting with yourself, your significant other, children, family, friends, business networks, community, and your higher power can elevate your life to work towards a positive future. Thus, we explore intimate topics, inspiring life stories, spiritually and insightful tips on strengthening relationships. This show is hosted by Dr. April, a Florida-licensed mental health counselor, relationship and intimacy therapist, board-certified telemental health counselor, national certified counselor, and a certified sex therapist. She is the owner of Vacation Counseling and Cape Coral Therapists, and the creator of the Intimate Connections newsletter. For more information about Dr. April's services and the Bringing Intimacy Back show, please visit bringingintimacyback.com. Check out past shows on Apple iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Now, let's get this episode of the Bringing Intimacy Back show started, because we share with you the secret power to intimacy to create a life you love, or love the life you create. Now, here's your host, Dr. April.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Well, I hope all you guys out there are doing okay today. And I thank you guys for listening or for tuning in to this show today. Well, today I'm going to talk with a therapist that I have seen develop and grow and created something very, very special. And it's also a great topic that we should be kind of talking about today. So who I'm going to have on today is Jessica Sagium. She's one of my therapists who's bilingual, and she's the owner of Restored Hope Counseling. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I'm very happy to be able to join in with you and just be able to have this type of conversation.
Good, yeah. So our conversation today is going to focus on immigrant families navigating through relationships. So as we all must know that, you know, in this time, this year of 2020, navigating through relationships and how the world is going is very, very, been very different and complicated and that kind of stuff. And so I want to tell you a little bit about Jessica, because Jessica's going to tell us about her experience, and she's going to help us talk about immigration and how that is affecting with families and stuff. But Jessica, she's coming to, I met Jessica back, and I think, how long was it ago, Jessica?
It was back in, I believe it was 2014.
Yes. And so Jessica has a passion, of course, for counseling. She actually came back from a law degree that you were thinking of doing, am I correct?
Correct, yes.
And then she found this passion in counseling, and she has her master's actually from the great University of Central Florida. And through working with her, she's created a wonderful service in a program and helping counselors and people go through immigration counseling. Yeah, so welcome, Jessica.
Thank you.
Yes. So first, I know this year has been a little kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been holding up yourself?
So truthfully, I believe it's been difficult for all of us, despite the fact that maybe us as therapists have been trained to utilize certain tools to help us navigate through difficult relationships. But as I always tell my own clients, that we're the best at giving advice in areas that we can struggle with sometimes. So for me, it was very difficult, especially in the beginning, to learn to just stop, because it gets to a point, especially when you have a profession like ours, to just be on the go, 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 go. So learning to be mindful and be present was something that definitely I had to learn, and just be able to appreciate the small things in life and appreciate time with family and that quality time, just being able to be together.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's helped us made us more grateful and all the, you know, experiences in life and stuff. And I know today's topic is about immigration, which is a serious topic. And so curious, can you explain to the audience even your own experience? And I believe you're second generation?
Correct. I am second generation, yes.
Yes. Can you, because I said thinking about immigration and stuff and the times that we had, can you explain from your background the experiences you've had and even how that even helped you become a counselor?
So for me specifically, I always knew that I wanted to be able to help others. And when initially I was going into law, I wanted to do family law, thinking that that was the way that I would get that fulfillment. But along the way, through my own personal experiences of realizing that I definitely desire to be able to provide more of a community of support to those that were really in need, especially in the Latino community or Latinx community, I realized that immigration counseling was definitely a great niche. And I remember us actually having this conversation a few years back where you had mentioned to me, I had no clue what immigration counseling was. And you had suggested maybe it's something I look into because there was such a great need. And that's always been something that I've always been passionate about. It's just filling in those gaps. And so through immigration counseling, I realized that I had personal experiences that I could share and I could connect with my own clients. So even though my family specifically, well, my immediate family, my parents, by the time I was born and I came to this world, they had my dad specifically had his documentation and his residency, but I did have close friends and I had former relationships where that was a reality for them. And just being able to see the stress and see the effects that that played not only on their own emotional and mental health, but also on their family, the family system, was something that really caught my attention. And I was definitely happy that I'm able to provide a service to those individuals and be a part of the process of being able to find and feel some sort of hope after navigating through this uncertainty for so many years. So for me, you know, immigration counseling is the big thing with immigration counseling is being able to connect with the client and be able to provide them with a extensive psychological evaluation to determine the effects that not only this circumstance has had on their lives and their family's lives, but as well as triggers that have come up as a result of this case. So a lot of these individuals have their own personal struggles and traumas from past experiences that are not even related to this event. And so that's a big thing, is being able to have those conversations and really assess where they're at and the importance of them being able to have the opportunity to be able to establish themselves here in the U.S.
Right. And one of the words that you used in even describing this was hope.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that your practice is called Restoring Hope.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is that what you feel like your purpose is, or what does those words mean to you?
So for me personally, I've always, so I am, what's gotten me through personally in my own personal struggles has been my faith. And so through my faith, I've always held on to this one specific verse that says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says Lord, "plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:11.
Jeremiah, yes.
Yes. So that is where Restoring Hope Counseling has come in, because for me, I have always felt that being able to connect through my faith has brought me hope. And it's important, I feel, that through this journey of self-healing and being able to grow, to be able to establish and hold on to hope, because oftentimes with individuals are at a breaking point, that hope is lost, which can lead to self-destructive behaviors and even bigger conflict than what they may be facing at the moment.
Right, definitely. And I think in 2020, through a lot of things that are happening, people are losing hope. You know what I'm
Correct.
Saying?
Between, oh, yes.
Yeah, the virus and other political stuff. And then I'm thinking if you're an immigrant, that's even harder for you.
Yes.
Yeah, the
yes. The fears are a lot more exasperated as a result of just the uncertainty. So there's always been an unknown, and now they're having to confront the reality. And the most difficult aspect of it is the effects that it's not only having on the individual that may be undocumented, but as well as the families and the children specifically that are having to go through the uncertainty as well. And just wondering if tomorrow their parent is going to come home or not. And so that's, you know, a big, big struggle. And that creates a lot of even more detrimental psychological and emotional effects on individuals.
Right, right. So you mean that there's kids out there that are wondering, am I going to see my parents? Are they going to come home? How scary that may be.
Yeah. Definitely. That is definitely a big reality. Yeah. I remember one of my first clients that I had with immigration counseling. It was a father or husband that was trying to get the waiver for his wife to be able to be allowed back because the mother had been detained and was sent back to her home country. And it had been 2 years since the mother had been back, and the last time the children had seen the mother was on their way to school. And the mm-hmm. children were 9 and 12 years old. And so that had happened when they were 2 years younger. So we're looking at 7 and 10. So that in itself, you know, is something that it is a reality for these, right, for these children, of just really not knowing what's going to happen.
Right. And so what makes it a difference in the sense that with immigration, some people think, well, I just get an immigration lawyer and deal with it. What would cause someone to think about getting a therapist also in this sense?
Okay. So usually when it comes to psychological evaluations for therapy, at some point, the attorneys actually have been educated to realize the impact that an individual's emotional and mental health can have. So oftentimes, the way I connect with other individuals or clients is through attorney referral base. And so the attorney will realize that there's something in their background that has been traumatic, and or they are experiencing some severe emotional distress at the moment, and they recommend a psychological evaluation to be able to provide further support towards their case. And so what I tell individuals when they call in is that this is an opportunity for them to be able to not just be another case number before the court, but an opportunity to have a voice and be able to express themselves and really share their story.
Wow. Okay. So it provides a way for an individual, like you said, just not to be a number, to tell their story and how the part of maybe being deported and stuff, how that truly affects the whole family, which is phenomenal of what you're doing and how of helping the community in that aspect. So we're going to take a short break now, but when we come back, I really want to get into the meat and bones of this, how it really affects family, and if people out there listening, how they can get to know about what you do. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about immigration families navigating it through relationships.
Are you wanting to feel empowered, loved, secured, respected, and inspired in these uncertain times? If so, Dr. April, a licensed mental health counselor and relationship and sex therapist who specializes in intimacy, can help you. Whether you are in need of insight and skills to work through a struggling relationship through couples counseling, or to understand your anxiety or depression in individual counseling, or to figure out your life goals in coaching, Dr. April's compassion and expertise can assist you in these areas. Also, she provides services for emotional support, animal documentation, supervision, and workshops. In addition, Dr. April has a group practice called Cape Coral Therapist. Cape Coral Therapist has an awesome team of male and female mental health therapists, all specialized in various areas including mental health, Christian counseling, trauma, addiction, immigration, and sports counseling, and are ready to serve you. The Cape Coral Therapist team, which is rated 5-star on Google reviews, is known as the Dream Team because of their energy and passion for therapy and determination to provide you with effective and solution-focused counseling for you and your family in a safe and confidential environment. For more information on how you can schedule an appointment in person or virtually with Dr. April or any of the therapists at Cape Coral Therapist, please call 239-565-6921. And you are welcome to visit Dr. April's website, www.draprilbrown.com and www.capecoraltherapists.com. You can follow Dr. April on LinkedIn at Dr. April Brown. You can follow Cape Coral Therapist on Facebook at Cape Coral Therapy. Just remember, Dr. April and her team of therapists and resources can help you strengthen your intimate connections with yourself, your loved ones, your community, and your higher power.
Hey, welcome back to the Bringing Intimacy Show, where intimacy is real. And today we're talking about immigrant families and navigating through those relationships with Jessica. And she's one of our bilingual counselors, and she is the owner of Restored Hope Counseling. And so, Jessica, what are some of the social factors in dealing with individuals with that are dealing with the immigration and how it affects family?
So when we look at social factors of immigrant families, there are a lot of different components that play a role, and depending on which family member we may be referring to. But summarizing, the biggest factors that I've come across has been, number one, there's definitely a financial struggle, because typically due to lack of legal documentation, it's very difficult, and it has become even more difficult to be able to find employment and to find jobs. So there's usually either one parent in the household that's working, or the adult children or teen children that are having to support and maintain the family, which can create other difficulties and obstacles, especially if the children are trying to finish up their high school education. And so that is where a lot of the increase in dropout rates also occur. And that creates a lot of stress and anxiety and depression in children of immigrant families. Additionally, you know, the legal process, it's very expensive and it's very costly. And that's another stressor that they have to take on. And they have no choice, or they find themselves feeling like they have no other choice but to be able to find the financial means to be able to pay for these services. A big thing that I also see, it's a generational acculturation gap. And so what that is that you're dealing with traditional families that, going back into having to support families, so you have the traditional view of the children take care of their parents, but yet at the same time, you have children that also have recognized that there's a world of opportunity here in Western culture, and find themselves feeling a lot of guilt and a lot of shame because they want to be able to branch out and do follow their own dreams, but they feel that there is a commitment to their family. So those social or those traditional cultural values are still there of loyal family ties. So that is a big thing, is that guilt and shame is a big component. Then you find yourself having a lot of parentified children. So children that feel the need to have to become the caretakers of their household or have no option, especially if their parental figure does not know the English language and need translation services. So we have children that are translating or being served as translators at the age of 9. So that's, you know, also another social factor. It's having to deal with a society and a culture that they're needing. They have to meet their needs, but at the same time, there's a difficulty in bridging that gap for certain services. And so the children become their tool to be able to help them navigate through these obstacles and or these factors.
Wow, you said a mouthful. Yes. And so definitely, as I was thinking and working as a former school counselor, I used to have a lot of children, like you said, who parents could not read the English language and sometimes would have to miss school just to go with their parent to some legal thing or whatever the case may be, and hear all this adult information and feeling frustrated in that aspect. And then also, like you said, also with the transition of, like, maybe sometimes I want to do this with my family or with my friends, but I'm supposed to be home taking care of my parents, and how to just navigate all that, because that's just sometimes, especially if you feel like you're the only Hispanic person going through that, or Creole person, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, so it's a lot of loneliness in that.
Yeah, a lot of isolation.
Yeah, especially in 2020, where sometimes you're not even able to go to school because you're all inside. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so and that brings up another factor, is the pandemic also takes away for many individuals or children that opportunity to just be a young person, and not being able to have that because they're feeling stuck in their own home because of the pandemic is also a great challenge.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, because some people may be listening saying, well, the child isn't able to be a child, that's fine. You know, you just grow up. Yeah. Is there any side effects of that?
Definitely. That's where we start coming across a lot of individuals that find themselves escaping through other means. So a lot of substances, which is something that we see that's a big prominent thing in our society today. A lot of adolescents that I work with that are using unhealthy coping mechanisms to escape their problems. And so the problems are real and they're still there, and we can tell others or individuals to get over it or just move on. But it is important to confront these issues, because at some point they're going to come back. There's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of mental health distress. And then you add on the fact that a lot of the minority groups are not really familiarized or aware of or educated with psychological or mental health factors, that creates even more distress because they don't know why these symptoms are happening or where they're coming from. And that creates a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. So there is definitely a lot of shaming, and it can also create very unhealthy relationships for these children growing up. So codependent relationships is a big one. And then it can also create what recently I was reading on toxic stress, which is another form of maybe not as intense as PTSD, but it produces very similar effects, where the individual has developed this fight or flight response and is in constant survival mode, just waiting for the other foot to drop. So it's a very unhealthy lifestyle and not a very peaceful one either.
Right. How do you combat the issue though? Because I know you're second generation, but in some first generation and just in some cultures, going to therapy is like, you know, you just don't tell people your problems.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you know, I struggled my ass to get over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. And so you just keep struggle. And I don't see what's the point of having therapy or, you know, or maybe if you just pray enough. I mean, how do you combat all that?
It's been definitely in my experience, it's been definitely a big struggle. And so especially with the Latinx community or even the minority group, that community, I feel like it's very important to take a different approach than what we would normally take with individuals that are accustomed to the concept of therapy and mental health. I definitely believe that with this population, it's important to provide a lot of education, and they need that education in the beginning. And they need that reaffirmation of letting them know that it's okay to be able to have these type of conversations. And it's about breaking the stigma and undoing a lot of the unhealthy and irrational beliefs that have been ingrained before being able to even go through the process of therapy. And so it's a big component is being able to establish and build that rapport from the beginning with the client. And so what I tell a lot of clients is that, you know, therapy and counseling is meant for everyday people that have everyday problems and are just really struggling on how to navigate through it. And so at the point when I receive or get calls from individuals that are, whether it's Creole or if if it's Asian or Latinx, there's a lot that's been built because they've avoided for so long, or they haven't known what the issue is, and so they're at a point of feeling desperate. So it's more about doing damage control than it is about taking proactive measures. So, you know, big thing is that they're at that place where it hurts and they really need some type of relief. So we definitely educate and we work on addressing and increasing awareness of some of these belief systems that have been unhealthy, and working through a lot of emotional healing with the feeling of feeling guilty, feeling shame, and feeling anxious, which are like the big prominent ones.
I mean, today's culture, and especially in 2021, I know I've seen an increase of minority clients myself. And I think it's because maybe pop culture and maybe the movement has helped made mental health easy to access, but also not such a big stigma. I'm wondering, in the Latinx community, do you feel like the stigma has gone down a little through all these movements of this year?
So it's very difficult to tell. I definitely feel like there has been a increase of awareness within the Latinx community. I am a part of a few Latin psychological organizations or a group of mental health professionals, and just being able to see the type of services that they are providing definitely indicates and shows that there is that increase of awareness. Definitely, I believe that a lot of the parents are at a point, especially, that they don't know what else to do with their children. So their children are advocating for therapy and they're saying, I want to see a therapist. So I get a lot of that as well. I get a lot of parents that say, you know, I really don't know how this is going to help or work, but I'm at my wit's end. And my child says that they need to see a therapist. So it's a lot of different avenues, but I definitely believe that the second generation, third generation are the ones that are really pushing for that. And making our community aware and known, as well as mental health professionals. We have an increase of mental health professionals that are of minority descent that are also really advocating and pushing for that education and that awareness.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have one question from a listener. They're concerned that if they're an immigrant, and let's say they're an undocumented immigrant, that if they went to counseling, maybe someone would find out, or, you know, that they could end up getting sent back just for going to counseling. Can you address the fears of, you know, as a undocumented person, I need help. Is it safe to go to counseling or not?
And that is a very important question. And that's a big reality. And that's a question that I've been asked before. And the big thing and the beauty about therapy is that confidentiality is one of our number one goals. And that's a big part of therapy. And so the big thing is that I tell individuals is that what we discuss and what we talk about in therapy is definitely remains confidential. Of course, there are our exceptions and limitations when it comes to threat to self or others. But outside of that, what we discuss is greatly protected. At least for me, that's one of the big reasons why I am not a big fan of working with insurance companies, is because I want to do my best to be able to protect my clients. And the moment that they feel that they come in through the door, they're feeling like this is a safe space and a safe environment to be able to talk about whatever it is that they need to discuss.
Okay. And so I know that this topic today is also about navigating through relationships. And we were talking, you know, about a person who is non-documented. Does that also impact in the sense of, you know, maybe I'm in a relationship and I'm an immigrant. And the relationship, it's getting unhealthy in the sense of being abusive. Are there resources or anything that I can do, or I'm just like stuck?
Yes, definitely. It's interesting because through this journey of learning the legal process of immigration and what steps can be taken to obtain legal status, there's actually what we consider a waiver for individuals that have been victims of domestic violence. So what we call a VAWA, or this is where the domestic violence comes in. So victims of domestic violence. And so through this waiver, people who, or individuals that qualify are individuals that have been physically, emotionally, mentally abused by a spouse in some way, shape, or form. And so big thing is recognizing that the support is there, and recognizing that the abuse isn't okay. And there's also local women's shelters and abuse hotlines that we can all have access to, which they also support protection of our everyone's rights. And, you know, a specific case that comes to mind is of a mom that actually qualified for, it wasn't a VAWA, but it was what we call a U visa. So that was a, there was some type of crime against an individual in the family, and it happened to be her daughter, and it was out of sexual abuse, unfortunately. And so there was a fear there of fearing that she's not of legal status, and what's going to happen if I report what happened. And so despite that fear, she gathered the courage to do it. And she was actually protected. So the moment that the report was made, she was protected, and the process started for the residency.
Okay. So what you're saying is there is protection out there for people who are living in really serious and maybe dangerous environments. It's just asking the right people.
Yes, it's finding a niche that you can trust. And big thing that I've seen in different communities and cities is that there is a support group of resources for every area. And so it's a matter of just really doing your homework and doing your research and really connecting with those resources. So although there are stricter legislative acts out there, but there's still a big group that is willing, and there are willing to support immigrants and their families.
Okay. And you just mentioned an important thing about trust. Yes, yes. Do you see that very hard for individuals who are immigrants? It's hard to trust.
Definitely. Trust the system. Definitely, yeah. But it gets to a point where they exhaust options and resources. And once again, it's one of those areas when it's like, I have nothing else. I don't know what else to do. And these are the resources that I have to turn to. And these are my last options. So usually when individuals are at that point, it's when they've exhausted all possibilities. And one thing that we're really trying, and I'm trying to get the message that I'm trying to get across, is that it doesn't have to get to that point. And there are opportunities, there are resources, there are organizations that are able to provide immigrant families with that support.
Okay. And so, like you said, it doesn't have to get to that big blow up, but there's support along the way. It's just finding that support within the community.
Yeah. So for example, Catholic Charities is a big one that Lutheran Services provide tons of support. They even provide legal support. So for those individuals that are struggling with being able to hire an attorney, there are services that will provide low cost or free services through Catholic Charities or Lutheran Services. These organizations reach out to me and I have offered to pay for psychological evaluation on behalf of individuals. I'm part of the organization Latinx Therapists, and through that organization or that group of mental health counselors, there's a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of services for low or free pro bono services for therapy and for migrant workers. That's a big one that is being worked on, are migrant farmers and people that are being affected through this pandemic. And they're really getting hit hard because these are the areas where they really depend on agriculture to be able to make a living. And so, you know, it's a matter of just being able to find those resources.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I know in our area, we have a little area called Immokalee. Yes, and I know the pandemic really hit hard home for them in the sense of them getting treatment for COVID and a variety of stuff. And for some of these immigrants, they're not only taking care of their family, but they're also trying to send money back home. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, to pay a lawyer and others. So it does get very expensive, especially if, you know, most of their skills are just doing like handwork. So that does. So I'm glad that there are resources out there. So if we have listeners out there that are listening and wanting to know more about you and how, what services you can provide, you can take our next commercial break and just let them know about all the things that you offer and how to get connected with you. Yes, you can go on.
Okay. So my name, as I mentioned, I am a licensed mental health counselor here in Cape Coral, Florida, Southwest Florida area. I am also temporarily licensed in the state of New Jersey. I provide individual, family, couple therapy, as well as psychological evaluations for immigration cases. I provide both all services in both English and Spanish. For those that are interested in any therapy services, including individual therapy for issues such as spiritual difficulties, anxiety, depression, OCD tendencies, feel free to give me a call at 407-545-3250, or you can email me at rhcswfl@gmail.com. So once again, that's rhcswfl@gmail.com. And we will be sure to provide you with the assistance or provide you with any type of resources or referrals that you may need. Once again, I am located in Cape Coral, Florida at Cape Coral Therapist Office building.
All right. Thank you. Yes. And she has a practice called Restoring Hope Southwest Florida Therapy. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So in this last part, I would like to talk about, because we've been talking about the issue, but I would like to give our audience some tips. So if we have people who are listening and maybe they're immigrants and they're struggling with themselves or in relationships or even blending the cultures. Yes. Can you give us some tips on how to navigate through our relationships?
So big thing that I tell individuals, especially if they're not 100% about seeking therapy, is just self-education. It's a big one. So just being able to read on acculturation and overcoming stigmas in minority cultures. So, you know, if we're referring to Latin community, Hispanic community, there are tons of resources. There are tons of podcasts out there that provide insight and awareness. Another thing that's also...
Do you have a name of a few podcasts?
Latinx Therapy has a podcast. Black Girls Podcast is another one for African Americans. And those are like the big major ones that I have listened into and have been very insightful. But there are tons out there. It's a whole world. And it's a matter of just searching therapy, and you will see all of them pop up. You can type in your culture and you can then include therapy, and those will pop up. So it's a matter of just, like I said, searching and being interested. That's a big thing. And then also recognizing that, it's okay to be able to seek out services if you are feeling overwhelmed and struggling, and just being able to recognize that mental health is real. And oftentimes it's a matter of just being able to work through and find healthy ways to be able to confront our situations and just be able to acquire the necessary tools to find that relief. Specifically with relationships, what I often tell individuals is that it's important to recognize that when we're facing or they're facing difficulties, oftentimes we enter into this tug of war battle where we're both wanting to, or both partners are wanting to pull against that rope, and the stress is building and they keep pulling even harder, and it comes to a point where their other half becomes their enemy rather than fighting against the problem. They're fighting against themselves. And so it's a matter of just learning to recognize that they're a team, and it's important to put down the power struggle and be able to work against the problem, which is what I often say. It's about looking at it from a different perspective and trying to find a solution, and just being able to have those conversations, recognizing that at the end of the day, the goal should be the same, which is to be able to be happy and have a happy family. And then, you know, recognizing that communication is a big component. And so what I tell couples all the time is that prior to entering into the relationship, each person has their own story. And so they carry what they call, or what I call, their own imaginary filter that they filter and they perceive life through. So I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you're having a conversation with a loved one, and then all of a sudden it goes from a conversation to an argument about something totally different. Right. And so it's about like stopping and saying, okay, well, how did we even get to this? And it's because that imaginary filter is kicking in, and what we're trying to express is not being perceived in the way that it's in the way that we're saying it. And so it's a matter of learning how to take a moment to stop and take that time out and just really reflect, and then come back together and be able to have those clarifying questions to make sure that what we're receiving is actually what is being expressed to us. So oftentimes in relationships, the big thing that I've noticed is just a lot of miscommunication and really not knowing how to move forward from assuming. Mm-hmm. And so just learning how to, you know, take that moment and say, I just want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly.
Right.
This is what I'm getting out of what you're telling me. Is this what you're meaning? Is this what you're saying? Just by being able to do that, that can make a world of a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just thinking, and for individuals who have trust issues, you know, and sometimes immigrants may have trust issues because it's the system that they may not trust or whatever. But just like you said, if you don't feel secure in your household, you know, back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, sometimes then that just impacts how you look at your relationship. You know, and like you said, you put on this imaginary thing and you're like, oh my gosh, this person is really trying to get at me, but really maybe that's not the issue. And so it kind of goes back to your first thing about being informed and also kind of self-aware.
Definitely. That's a big component, is just recognizing that there may be things that are being triggered because of our own past, especially when you look at traditional immigrant or families that come from traditional households. There's a lot of beliefs that are ingrained from a young age, and that can carry over to them. And big thing that I've noticed is a lot of internalization and a lot of self-blame. And feeling like it's my fault, and recognizing that your partner may not be expressing that to you, and may just be saying, I just am really needing some support, and I'm really needing help, and their intention is not to shame you. And so, you know, usually that fight or flight response will come in, and they feel the need to have to become defensive. But it's not about being defensive, but it's about recognizing, this is my baggage, this is my issue, and it's something that I need to own. And recognize that I have the power to address it and work and react differently to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was also thinking, because we're talking about cultures, and, you know, especially for individuals who are second generation here, in relationships, you're sometimes torn between, I see this is how things are done in America, but this is how I see it in my family. Which way do I go? You know, who's right, who's wrong? Yeah. And as someone who's gone through that process, how do you navigate through all that?
It's very difficult, yet at the same time, it does take a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of self-reflection. And so when I mean self-reflection, I mean really tapping in and asking yourself, okay, what are my core values? What are those things in my life that are important to me that I cannot compromise? Because if I compromise them, I'm losing a part of myself. So for example, if for you being able to have a career is something that is very important to you, and you feel that that's something that you're completely passionate about, it's maybe something that an individual cannot compromise. And it's about creating and learning how to create those boundaries with loved ones. And that's difficult. But at the same time, recognizing that loved ones, if they are healthy relationships, it means that at some point they're going to respect it and they're going to love you through that, despite their reaction of being upset. And we don't like for individuals or people that we love to be upset with us, but it's about also learning to be okay with those type of reactions. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a big thing, especially when we're talking about family loyalty and that being a big factor in many immigrant families. It's that those family ties is really struggling with saying, okay, well, I don't want my family member, my parent, my spouse to be upset at me. But yet at the same time, it also is important to be able to find that line of compromise. So any healthy relationship requires that compromise, essentially.
Right. And you made a very valid point, and I could just see it because I've heard it, where sometimes, like you said, you may really want to love your career and work. Maybe you're a mother, and in your culture, you know, you were told more to be at home or to have everything done, you know, the kids, the cooking and all that. And it's hard to balance all that and not feel judged. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then what if some of your family members don't understand? Like your mom may not understand how you're going out, you know.
And so that's a lot. And that was something that I also struggled with. I remember when I went to grad school, I was in my younger 20s. And I remember I went to a predominantly traditional Hispanic church. And I remember some of the individuals or the members of the church asking me what I was doing in Orlando all alone. And to me, I found that question so strange, because I'm like, well, I'm here at school. And they're like, well, are you married? And I'm like, no. And then their next question is, well, how did your parents let you leave the home, not being married and being in your younger 20s? And right. It was offensive, but at the same time, it was mind blowing, because the reality is that for some individuals, that's what they believe, and that's right. their value. It's being able to leave the home or have their children leave the home once they've been married off, and especially being a female, that's another obstacle on top of that, especially with Latinx, within the Latinx culture. So just being able to, you know, be able to know and recognize what your values are and have a strong foundation in who you are is very important. And that's difficult, especially when you're trying to pull apart what is values that are yours and things that were just instilled in you. So that's why I definitely always tell individuals that it's always, you know, therapy is always helpful in helping you guide through those puzzle pieces that we're trying to piece together or put together.
Yeah, definitely. And even what you were just saying, figuring out who you are, and especially in this time and age, it's a lot of what we see on social media of how people are portrayed. Sometimes we look at that and we think, is that who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is definitely big. It's just, you know, I think definitely social media has played a big role in self-comparison and comparing ourselves to other and placing that pressure on us, but also recognizing that every person is their own unique individual, and what works for some individuals isn't going to work for other people, because essentially we've been created very differently, to think differently, to feel differently, to view things differently. And so it's about embracing our individuality and being able to accept that. And I definitely feel that a big component of a lot of the stress that individuals face is just feeling that pressure, that societal pressure, the family pressure, and just learning to be okay with who they are and not trying to live their lives through other people or for other people, which is a big thing. So I definitely feel like, you know, even going back to issues that immigrant families may face, there is definitely an identity crisis. You know, that is a big, big component. When you think about the developmental stages to be able to reach autonomy, there's been stages that have not been filled, right, that have not been reached, developed. So the individual will constantly fall back because there are certain developmental stages that have not been achieved.
Right, definitely. Well, thank you, Jessica, so much for all the information you've provided us about immigration, navigating through relationship, and kind of like you said, just learning how to be aware of ourselves and figuring that out. And she's a great resource. If any of you guys are listening and you're like, well, I think I really want to get to know her, or I really want to talk with her and see how she can help me, you can reach her at area code 407-545-3250. She also has a wonderful website. Restoring Hope is her name of her company, and the website is www.restoringhopeswflltherapy.org. Also, her email, if you want to email her, is rhcswfl@gmail.com. Of course, she's on Instagram, guys, and she posts a lot of great self-development, positive things. Please follow her. And that's on CapeCallTherapist_RHS. And of course, Facebook, which is Restoring Hope Counseling LLC. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being a guest on this show. I really do appreciate it. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much for allowing me. I definitely enjoyed having this conversation and look forward to having more in the future.
Okay, awesome. Check out, if you guys want to check out her and the rest of the therapists here, it's www.capecalltherapist.com. If you enjoyed this show and would like to see more, it's Bringing Intimacy Back. Check out our website at www.bringingintimacyback.com. Thank you guys so much.